You're listening to the Habs Fan vs. Leafs Fan NHL Postseason Playoff Edition Podcast. This is Habs Fan vs. Leafs Fan, our evening edition. As always, I'm joined by Kamal Rahman, Habs Fan. Kamal, how are you?
I'm good, Ari. How are you?
Well, as you can tell, I'm playing around with some levels.
Yeah.
Trying to get the right mix for us.
Yeah, we got a lot of new things going on. New soundboard, everything.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting, but it's very daunting, you know, because I've never played with so many flips and switches and bells and whistles and stuff.
Speak for yourself.
Well, why do I not want to know what that even means? Because that sounds like there's more to it.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're going to be getting calls throughout the show, and I'm sure people are going to have a lot of things they're going to want to talk about. What do you think people want to talk about the most?
I think they're going to be talking about, I think still a hot topic, is the Sidney Crosby injury.
Definitely.
But I think it's now even progressed more because he skated today. And people are questioning whether that's way too soon for a guy with his concussion history to already be on the ice. So I think that's a concern. I think people are wondering about that. And one of the things that I want to talk about too is the, it's kind of like death and taxes, which is the collapse of the Washington Capitals every springtime.
It's like a rite of passage, isn't it?
It is. So
we get guaranteed this team that comes into the playoffs that on paper, I mean, you looked at their roster when the season started, you figured that there was a shot that they were going to be the top dog. Were you surprised they finished with the President's Choice, or was that just like an eventuality given their talent?
I was surprised they finished with the President's Choice, considering they have no affiliation with Loblaws whatsoever. but I was actually surprised that they did get the President's Trophy, because I thought that wasn't their goal, but they ended up just being a powerhouse throughout the regular season anyway. And, they won that. So I was surprised about that. But what I was wondering was, I was thinking to myself, who's a bigger playoff choker? Who do you think, Alexander Ovechkin or David Price?
Man, David Price, you don't even hear his name mentioned right now. Obviously because he's recovering. I know he's out.
Yeah.
But the thing that blows me away is what a huge hole that is in their starting rotation. But they're managing. They're managing to overcome it.
Yeah.
They're a good team. They're a good team with depth. They're a great team with young players.
Yeah, yeah.
As you can tell, I really envy them. But how can you argue against, or rather in favor for a player that has choked consistently as badly as Ovechkin? I mean, how many? He's been in the league now how many years? Roughly 10 years?
No, now it's more. 05, I think, was his first year? Or was that, Sid, 04 maybe for Ovechkin? So he's like, what, 11, 12 years?
And about what? 10, 11 playoff appearances, like almost regularly. And
where
I think
they've been a top contender a lot of people's preseason and or playoff season choices to win it all. That's why when I think of Price, because when he was with the Blue Jays, I thought, you know what? He has been a playoff choker for Tampa and for Detroit. I said, it's not going to happen again. And then it happened with Toronto. And then I was like, okay, now that he's with Boston, there's no way. Maybe it's just a fluky thing. Maybe he isn't the playoff choker, and then it happened with Boston. And the same thing I was thinking with Ovechkin. I'm like, there's no way that this can keep going on. And I actually wanted him to do well. But then after last night's performance, and it was so lackadaisical, and how can you do that when you have an opportunity to tie the series 2-2 with Crosby out, Letang already out, Murray out, Connor Sheary out. This was your moment, and he dogged it, and he admitted it. His coach called him out, and he just, and for me, like, I wanted him to, you know, for the critics to lay off of Ovechkin, but I think he completely deserves it now. His performance last night really turned a lot of people the other way in saying, Ovechkin, you know what? He is who we think he is. He is that playoff choker.
That's a reputation that he's been now trying to live down for a considerable amount of time. I mean, there were whispers when it was the fourth or fifth attempt. Now that he's probably hit double digits, he has, right? He's been in the playoffs, I think, 11 times in his first 13 years.
Yeah.
So for him to be on such a stage knowing that he doesn't have to worry about Crosby. That's terrible. Like that's embarrassing.
His playoff numbers are still pretty good. I believe he is top five since like 2000 whatever in terms of goals scored in the playoffs.
So would you say that these NHL players have just further magnified the importance of what starting goaltending really means? Because I think it got lost for a little while there. And now we've reached a point again where people are realizing you can't live without competitive starting goaltending. Is that too simplistic?
I guess it is a little too simplistic. I think what is shown right now, if you look at past Stanley Cup winning goaltenders, Corey Crawford isn't really known, and with as much respect to Corey Crawford as a top five goaltender, but he's won, you know, two Stanley Cups. Matt Murray won it last year, and look who's left. Like right now, it's Marc-Andre Fleury, who everyone had already tossed to the expansion bin of the Las Vegas Golden Knights. And then you've got Cam Talbot, who was a backup a few years ago for the Rangers, who's now in the one of the final eight goaltenders in the league. Mm. You've got Gibson, who people were doubting. Jake Allen, people were doubting him. Who else am I missing? I know you've got Lundqvist and Holtby, and those are the two guys who are pretty routinely always in the top three, four goaltenders in the league. And they're not really that. They're not shining. What you need to go through the playoffs is a hot goaltender. The formula is not necessarily to have the best goaltender, but to be lucky enough to have a goalie who gets hot in the playoffs. And it's shown that that's the way to go. Carey Price is always talked about as the best goalie in the world, or one of the best goalies in the world, or sometimes even called the best hockey player in the world. And yet, you can't say that about him in the playoffs.
It's funny how that kind of mirrors pitching to some degree in baseball, right? I mean, if David Price had gotten hot in the playoffs, then we'd be talking about the 2015 World Series champions, Toronto Blue Jays. I don't think that's a stretch.
No, I don't think so.
I mean, you could even argue that that one of the reasons we talked about this, we argued why management didn't bring Price back, the initial, you know, conventional frame of thought was penny pinching.
Yeah.
But I think organizationally, there were some people at the top who were thinking, this guy can't pitch in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So do we want to invest $25 million, $30 million in a pitcher who will have a great regular season? With goaltenders, there are money goaltenders. Mm-hmm. There are goaltenders who struggle during the regular season, and then they get hot, and they get so hot. And probably the best example in recent memory was Halak during that run about 5-6 years ago for the Habs.
Yeah.
Was there any goaltender hotter before they finally were vanquished in those first three rounds? Who was hotter than Yaroslav Halak?
Yeah, in those playoffs, probably no one.
I mean, he was robbing games left, right, and center.
2010
yeah.
was Chicago eventually won the cup, and that was with Antti Niemi.
A name that, again, will go down in infamy as a hot goaltender in the playoffs, and now you don't really, you know, afterwards you didn't really hear about him.
Yeah.
He became effective trade bait.
Yeah. I think the formula is you got to load up with talent. You need to get the players that can. Saying that though, Washington has all the talent in the world, but they just can't seem to bring it in the playoffs. Nick Backstrom, he's
taken a step back or two.
Yes, he has.
I mean, you even watch him play. He's not the electric guy that he was 3 or 4 years ago, where you got scared the moment he carried the puck into the zone and he'd set up Ovechkin and rack up points. Now I look at him and I don't know if he's a little more pensive or maybe he's just lost his step, but he doesn't look like the mystique isn't there for Mr. Backstrom.
Yeah, he always seems to be looking to pass off, like he doesn't have confidence or something.
And he went really late in our pool this year, didn't he? I don't think he was selected in the first, 30 picks. I think he was definitely a top 50 player.
Yeah.
But in years gone by, you might even go top 10 with Backstrom because you can rack up a point per game. And so
and
something changed there.
Kuznetsov looks, I mean, he seems to be getting
more. He looks mortal.
He
looks like a mortal Russian.
Yeah. He's pissed off a lot of people with his FIFA bird celebration.
Well, and that and about like 40 examples on YouTube of him taunting players.
Mm.
I mean, the guy's a weasel. From a sportsmanship perspective, Kuznetsov is a bona fide weasel. You don't need to do that. You know you're good.
Well, it's against the hockey, you know, the hockey code, I guess you could say, is.
But you know who figured that out early and got accepted more into the fraternity? Because if you remember, in his first year, he was Mr. Hot Dog, was Tarasenko. Tarasenko ended up on the NHL 17 cover for a reason. He upped his game, his tact, his sportsmanship, and he got accepted as a player that's a serious player. In his first year, he was a little weasel. He'd score, and then he'd do pirouettes and all sorts of different theatrical performances.
Yeah.
You know, which you usually earn after you score 400 goals. Not when you've scored 12, right?
Yeah, yeah. Tarasenko's a good guy, though. He deserves...
I think he's pound for pound. Would you agree he's pound for pound the most talented NHL player today? If you just look at pure size, package, everything together, you don't think he's... I mean, he's not a particularly big player.
No. But apparently he was like at 240 pounds playing last year. He's a good citizen. He does good stuff, charity work and stuff like that, and he's very friendly with the fans and the pregame skates and stuff like that. On Sportsnet.ca, would the Caps do the unthinkable and consider trading Ovechkin?
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, what is the constant in all these Capitals playoffs failures? And I mean, they're not out yet, but by the looks of it, they're not going to beat Pittsburgh. And what's the constant? Coach has been changed multiple times. Boudreaux, Hunter, Adam Oates, and now we've got Trotz. Goaltending has been changed multiple times.
So let's let's review here. He's 31 years old? 30 years old now.
Yeah, something like that. 30, 31.
So if you're a franchise in need of an elite scorer, there's no question you'll be interested, but really a 31-year-old player making $9.5 million a year? How many years does he have left on that Washington contract, you figure? A couple years left?
No, I think he's got several. It was one of those before the
okay, so
the limits were put in. I think it was like a 14-year deal or something.
So unless you're the Vegas Golden Knights, which, by the way, would be an amazing fit for an aging Russian player whose best years are behind him, who was once considered the best goal scorer in the league. I think you just answered your question. I think the Vegas Knights take him because I don't think any other team will touch him given his contract, unless it's like a sideshow adventure, because really, how great will he be when he's 33, 34? Look at him last year. Couldn't score 40 goals. So what are we... I don't think he finished with 40. He finished with, what, 30-something, 35?
Yeah, he didn't hit. He didn't break 40.
So really, who's going to do it? Who's going to take, other than strictly for PR purposes? And by the way, that's not necessarily a bad thing if you're one of those markets that maybe can... I mean, can you imagine in Montreal, Alex Ovechkin showing up to try to help push the Canadiens? But...
Yeah, I know.
But the Capitals would expect a king's ransom.
But he's coming with a lot of baggage.
Oh, boy, is he.
You know what I mean? Like, it's been really disappointing, this playoff for him. I thought he would get over the hump, but he just hasn't.
No, and the opportunity's been there. And he's got the supporting cast, and they went out and got Shattenkirk, and they've got a hot Braden Holtby. Why isn't this working? I mean, we know why. It's the defending Stanley Cup champs, and they're playing better.
Yep.
But now... Not having Crosby in that game, that was huge last night. That's it. I think that was the turning point. I don't see them recovering from that. And, of course, if they surprise us and they do, then maybe that's what vaults them over the top.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm sorry, 5 out of 6 overtime games against the Toronto Maple Leafs, the 8th seed, and now you're struggling against the defending champs without the best player in hockey? That's a business card right there I'm looking at and saying, I don't want to invest in that team. I don't think they're going anywhere.
Yeah. I think it's going to be, there's going to be a lot of changes. Oshie, Williams, they're going to be gone. Shattenkirk will be gone. Something has to change. You can't go forward with that same core.
No.
I've said the same thing with Montreal. I mean, the core is the same. Plekanec, Markov, Price, and now Pacioretty has been there long enough to be obviously part of that core that just can't get better in the playoffs. And those four guys... are known to not bring up their game in the playoffs, Price included. I'm sorry to say.
I don't think you're going to shock too many people. I think there are a lot of people who share that sentiment.
Yeah.
I think there are a lot of people who are looking at the Montreal Canadiens and the Washington Capitals and saying there are certain players that need to be moved for them to take a step forward. Of course, they'll take a step back because when you subtract an Ovechkin from your roster, that's a big hole. But yeah. Like you said, sometimes you just need to shake things up. A team reaches a point See, isn't that the thing that management needs to do in hockey more than ever is recognize when the milk is getting stale?
Yeah.
Where there are certain players who just can't push you along. And, you know, Babcock has a long mandate, so he can take his time to figure out whether the right chemistry mix is there.
Yeah, there's
and,
a great...
You know, that's what you learn from in your early playoff runs. Who can get you over the top?
That's exactly right. There's a... In Montreal, a key phrase was Mark Bergevin saying there are players that get you to the playoffs and players that get you through the playoffs. And Ovechkin is definitely falling into the former. And it's not just the NHL playoffs. Look at all the Olympics.
Yeah, that's...
And the stupid World Cup of Hockey. He stinks.
Wow, that's a classic case where the writing's on the wall. All you have to look is look at those international competitions. Look at the way those teams lose. Talk about great fodder for scouts who are trying to figure out which players do we want to tie long-term contracts to. It's not just about finding young talent. Who's out there? How are they performing on the world stage?
Yeah.
And you can't be surprised when somebody who doesn't do well in an international competition doesn't show up for the Stanley Cup playoffs. Because some players just don't have the heart to do that. So my question to you right now is, how often or realistic can one expect a player like a Radulov to come to a different team and shake off that horrible playoff choker history? You know, Mr. I stay out too late and get punished by the team when I'm at Nashville. But then something happened. He came to Montreal. And I love those interviews when he scored that overtime goal in the first round. He was all energized. It was obvious that he'd become a team player. I guess you'd like to see him as part of the future. You think he can be helpful for the Habs moving forward?
Yeah. I mean, a season without Radulov would have been terrible.
Oh, boy.
He really drove the offense. He inspired Pacioretty. Pacioretty said he, you know, watching Radulov play made him play harder. And that's what everyone's been asking for from Pacioretty, is for him to play harder. Unfortunately, that didn't translate into the playoffs, though. But what happened to Radulov? What happened? Like, why did he shake off the malaise? A lot of people said that he himself said he got married and he has a kid. And he says he didn't want his kid to see his father the way he was. He wanted newer examples of being a better player. And I think that came out, and, you know, that he really showed that he's a changed player. He played inspired hockey. He went through a little bit of a lull, but so does everybody.
So maybe Ovechkin gets traded, goes to a team where he's not the focal point, and becomes the perfect Shanahan or Yzerman, the evolved player, the guy who in the beginning of his career made it all about him and now is willing to do whatever it takes to win. You'd like to see him do it with his team that drafted him, but I think Capitals fans have to realize it's probably not going to happen. What's probably going to happen is you're going to need to trade Ovechkin. You're going to need to you'll get some good resources for him, and then he'll go on and become an elder statesman somewhere, maybe even for, you know, a team like a Nashville or a team like an Edmonton. I can see him going to Edmonton, becoming like a mentor to McDavid, him all the best habits he needs, the Russian way to win. You know what I'm saying?
I think if a team is going to acquire Ovechkin, they're going to ask him, well, what are you doing in February with Pyeongchang, because he said he's going anyway.
The Olympics are going to be such a lightning rod of controversy. It's going to be a headache for this league. You're going to get a whole group of players who are going to go. Some of them are going to get hurt. There are going to be some angry owners. Gary Bettman's going to stand up and stammer and hum and haw his way with double talk. This is a terrible situation. It needs to be solved.
We don't want to go to South Korea.
Solve it.
Because it's too far and whatever. And
silly excuses.
Time change. But we do want to go to China.
Ridiculous. What a terrible double standard.
Because the time change isn't that drastic.
It's a little less drastic.
Yes.
You know?
Makes a lot of sense.